much about.
Hello, my name is Zach Olympia Dukakis, and I'm coming to you from the year 2015, where anything is possible. For instance, I've implanted a radio inside my head where I can listen to tuba music all day long.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Here's what society thinks. Good for you.
And now.
Can we start now?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 5th of June. What's
happening?
What up?
You know, gangsta life.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. How's everybody?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Kevin, you didn't get caught in that 405 nonsense that Muggs won't shut up about?
This morning?
Yeah.
No.
Muggs was talking about how he sat on the freeway for 5 years, I think he said.
Oh, that's
it
possible.
Felt like 5 years.
That's he came a lot early, you know, a half hour ago probably.
Yeah.
So,
right, yeah.
But it was mostly open. There was some closures. The 405 has been a nightmare for before I was born. I know that. It was just construction all the time.
Yeah.
They're never done either, right? It's
no.
Like, you know, I guess the example everyone uses for all examples all the time is the Golden Gate Bridge. You finish painting it, and you go back to the other end and start again. And that seems like what the 405 is. By the time they get whatever lane they're working on done, there's another lane that they have to do something else on.
Coming back from the Weenie Roast this past Saturday night, I got caught twice in them closing the freeway. I just barely made it through with one lane.
Yeah.
But it was like 4 minutes until they were supposed to completely close it.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
The worst.
Well, I know we got a big Kevin and Bean Show planned for you today. Before we get started, you know, every once in a while we'll do a phone topic. It may be time to visit it again on dating and marriage deal breakers. Now, there are some things that, you know, they're big enough issues that you get why people would split up over them. You know, you want to have kids or someone wants to live in Chicago and the other person wants to live in Miami and no one's budging. I mean, you get some things break people up, right?
Monogamy. You know?
Yeah, there's that.
That BS. Then there are other things that are a little bit more person to person. You know, that awesome episode of Jim Jefferies' show this year about he was dating a sweet, hot, nice, awesome, hilarious girl who turned out to be very racist. Is that the kind of deal breaker you can look the other way on? If your partner has a terrible haircut, is that enough to break you up? Or is that something you just look past and work with? You know, I mean, it's a fine line and it's difficult for everybody. Well, here's a story that comes out of Japan. A man revealed on a website called Kenosha no Hakaba.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm sure is pronounced perfectly in Japanese. Mm-hmm. By the way, that translates roughly in English to the gravesite of married people. And it's a marriage advice site where people go on and they talk about, you know, they crowdsource their problems. Hey, here's what's going on. What do you do? Have you had this problem? What can you help me? That sort of thing. He said that things were going great with he and his wife. Doesn't say in the article how long they've been married. As far as he knew, there were no pre-existing issues in the marriage. Money is not an issue. They don't have any kids. But his wife is obsessed with the movie Frozen. And he likes it, but thinks it's just good.
Mm-hmm.
She can't get over the fact that he doesn't think it's the greatest movie in the world. So when he asked, do you really think it's that good? She said, I can't do this anymore. Move out.
Wow.
Was he tormenting her?
It doesn't, again, you know, details are sketchy on the story, but he makes it sound like he likes the movie, thought it was good, didn't think it was great, and she couldn't wrap her head around somebody who didn't think Frozen was great.
She's a bitch.
It also says, since he's moved out, she will only communicate with him through their parents.
Wow.
So Frozen doesn't seem like it should be a deal breaker, right? I mean, I think it's okay if somebody likes a movie. Even as far as if somebody likes a movie and the other person doesn't, I think that's okay, right?
You have to end up marrying a clone of yourself. I mean, if you can't have different thoughts and feelings on stuff.
I love that he didn't hate it. He didn't ban it. He liked it. He thought the movie was good. just didn't like it enough.
That is weird.
So there you go. So let it go, right?
Just let it go. That's what I always say.
Let it go. That would be good advice there. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, you betcha.
We have Dr. Drew on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We have the person that makes the kind of TV that we like to watch and we like to really, really hate to watch. Sally Ann Salsano will be here.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about another season of Party Down South.
These kids. Oh, my God.
They're the worst.
My God.
They're the best.
They're the worst.
The worst, best, whichever. Same. We also have our Breakfast with Jack White tickets.
Yes.
Breakfast cool. with Jack White, which is happening next, I want to say Thursday.
A week from today.
Very excited.
Or is today
about
Wednesday?
Today's Thursday, yeah.
Okay, week from today then.
Yep, week from today. So we're going to give you some tickets for that. And we have a brand new internet roundup. We will take a quick break and come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51.
Are you positive it's KROQ?
I think.
You want to try it again? You got it? You feel good?
No, I'm going to stand by that one. It's the best, best I'm able to do.
Well, it's a lot of complicated alphabetical letters in a row. Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Good news. They just keep procreating.
Who keeps?
The Kardashians.
Oh no, not another one.
Kourtney.
No.
Kourtney Kardashian is expecting yet another child with her baby daddy, Scott Disick. The unhappily unwed couple already has a 4-year-old son named Mason, a 23-month-old daughter named Penelope. And now it looks like they're going to have another one, which is just great. Just great. Because they seem like the best of couples, and they're really happy, and they're they're solid, and a child will be loved, and there'll be no issues whatsoever. And
yeah, that doesn't seem good.
Why do you suppose Kourtney doesn't want her own fairy tale wedding?
Who knows why any of them want anything? Why does she want to keep having babies with that douchebag?
Another good question.
I repeat this again. If they didn't have money and fame, they would just be the whitest, trashiest of trash. They live like trailer park people. Multiple unwed children, and the other one with the sex tape, and just classless. Did you see Kanye's wedding present to Kim, the painting?
I did not, know.
My Perfect Bitch, the painting called My Perfect Bitch.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah.
It's done by a street artist. It's on a piece of metal, and it's Kim Kardashian naked, just a thong and high heels looking over her shoulder. It's like something you'd put on the side of a van. That's the image. It's like something that would be better served on black velvet than on a piece of metal in terms of a painting.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right. These people are stunning. Speaking of babies, Keira Knightley was interviewed this week. And she may not be a mom, but she already has plans for her future children. She told the British version of Elle magazine that she would absolutely tell her daughter not to be an actress. Now, Keira herself entered show business at the age of 10. She started performing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A lot of people forget she was in Bend It Like Beckham. That was sort of her first breakthrough role. She was just a kid.
Interesting.
When she was in that movie. She said despite some of the tough spots, she wouldn't do anything differently. Well, no, of course she wouldn't. She's a major movie star. But she would not recommend that her daughter, if she had one, got into the business. She said, and I quote, "One's teenage years should be spent going out and getting unbelievably drunk and making mistakes."
All right.
That's how Kevin lives his entire life, not just his teenage years.
How about that?
Good news. ABC spun off yet another Bachelor Bachelorette show. Woo!
That is
Woo!
Good news.
Woo! Bachelor in Paradise, it's called. Some of the ex-Bachelor and Bachelorette fan favorites and villains will be living together in a house in Mexico for 7 weeks as they explore new relationships, either falling in love or going through heartbreak. Premieres Monday, August the 4th.
I mean, you're not really excited about
Bachelor in Paradise update. Can't wait.
No, I mean, seriously. No.
Tune in.
But you're
tune
not.
In this August.
You're not really excited about that. You're just being funny.
I am. Look, Bachelor Pad was even better than any of the Bachelors. Because it was just the flotsam and jetsam of that show. Just all the garbage, the human garbage they could find. They put them in one house. And it was like all the drama and insanity with none of like the boring romance kissy stuff. So it was just them just tearing at each other and attacking each other and fighting and getting drunk. And
yeah.
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 It was like Bachelor Concentrate. Just add water. And this Bieber kid, he's the best, isn't he? Isn't he the best?
Has been from day one. Or we hate him.
You know, a lot of people said, well, feel bad for Justin Bieber because this poor kid, he was just a sweet, sweet kid. And then fame and fortune came along and, yeah, and ruined him.
Right.
Oh, our sweet little boy that we all knew and loved at 14, 15 when he grabbed the world's heartstrings and made us love anew, made us care for the first time. Then all the money and fame just got a hold of him and just changed our sweet little cherubic Canadian into this horrible pop star. Oh, oh, the sweet boy. Oh, how I mourn his loss of innocence. Yeah. Have you seen the video this week?
Is this the One Less Lonely Girl parody?
14-year-old Justin Bieber singing the N-word.
I heard about
it. Right into the camera.
I didn't hear it so much.
Familiar with the song, The One Less Lonely Girl in the World?
Yes.
Well, it's even funnier, Kevin, if you take One Less Lonely Girl in the World and change it to One Less Lonely N-word in the World.
He sang that?
Sure. When you talk about killing a black person and being a member of the KKK.
He's saying that out loud?
Oh, Kevin, it's hilarious. It's
hilarious. The worst Weird Al parody you've ever heard.
Luckily for us, TMZ posted the video. This is not made up. This is the real deal. This is audio of Justin Bieber singing a parody of One Less Lonely Girl in the World, One Less Lonely N-word in the World.
One less lonely n- One less lonely n- One less lonely. There's gonna be one less n. If I kill you, I'll be part of the KKK. Then there'll be one less lonely. There's gonna be one less lonely.
Oh, Justin. We're sorry. We're sorry fame and fortune turned you into a horrible person. Because when you were 15 years old, apparently you were a sweetheart. You were just a special little kid. Can we all now just be clear about the facts that he is and has always been a horrible little bastard?
Yeah. He's a bad person.
He's a bad person.
From the beginning.
He was a bad kid. He was a bad teenager. And now he's a bad adult.
Ish. He's not really.
Yeah, he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
20 years old.
Yeah, I think he's 20.
Good times.
This, of course, is after the video came out of him doing that racist joke about why black people are afraid of chainsaws.
Yeah.
Right.
Word is Justin himself released this video.
Why?
Because apparently he has been, there's been attempted blackmail quite a bit regarding these two videos that came out this week. People saying, if you don't give me a whole bunch of money, I'm going to put this on the internet and ruin your image and blah, blah, blah. But really, at this point, how can you ruin his image?
Yeah, it's true.
One of the most despised entertainers in the world. Of course, if you follow Justin on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, in the wake of releasing that video, there's been nothing but Bible passages.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
a lot of them, all they deal with is forgiveness and salvation for your sins.
I see.
And Justin has issued an apology saying, I didn't understand the power of certain words and how they can hurt. All righty.
I mean, that's the feed we go to if we want Bible verses. That's how he's trained us, right? You go to Bieber's.
If nothing else, he's shown that he is full of thoughtful, careful consideration about the feelings of others and about the teachings of Jesus Christ, our
That's
Lord and
true.
Savior. Remember that time when Jesus peed in a bucket? Justin did that too.
That was just Justin.
Remember when Jesus spit off that balcony down onto the disciples below?
That didn't
Remember?
Happen.
Right.
He's been walking in the footsteps of Jesus for some time now.
I don't think so.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. One of our favorites, actor-comedian Jeff Garlin, 52 years old today. What a funny, sweet guy.
He's
he
the
is.
Best.
Actor Ron Livingston from Office Space, 47 years old. Mark Wahlberg, my son, from Ted. Looks like Wahlberg and Will Ferrell are going to get together and make another movie.
Fantastic.
Remember the other guys?
I do.
The one they did.
I love that.
I did, too. That was a very fun
film. I thought
film.
That was underrated. I liked a lot.
311 bassist Peanut, 40 years old today. Actor Nick Kroll, our buddy, is 36. And Fallout Boy bassist Pete Wentz. We just saw him at the Weenie Roast, 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Congratulations to our latest Black Keys winner coming to the Forum in November, Ryan Martino from Riverside. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Of course, we got more you can win later on today, and tickets for our Breakfast with Jack White coming up as well.
There are lots of different ways for you to get in contact with the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page is one way. You can always follow us and talk to us on Twitter, at Kevin and Bean. We've got an Instagram page. What else do we have? You can email us. I guess that's a,
sure.
That's the old school way to do it, right? No one calls us on the phone anymore. That's not a thing, right?
No, I hope not.
Yeah, you can get a hold of Kevin or Lisa or Beer Mug or whoever you're looking for at krock.com. Let's take a look at some of the mail we got this week on some good topics, including weak-ass tickets. Man, could you believe how many calls we got with people who have gotten lame-ass tickets?
Yeah, we were afraid of that. We thought, how bad can they be? How many calls will we get? Mm-hmm. We could have gone all morning with those.
I just feel like some people just – I mean, I feel like the police are out there making tickets up. Dear Kevin and Bean, podcast listener here named Alex, on your segment on weak-ass tickets, I have to share mine. When I was 16, I was making my way home from a friend's house, and half a block away from my house, a motorcycle cop pulled me over and gave me a ticket for riding my bicycle without a helmet. Well, I had to pay a $60 fine and do 20 hours of community service. Sounds reasonable, right? Here's the punchline. I wasn't even riding my bike. I was walking next to my bike and pushing it because it had a flat tire.
Yeah. What?
There is no way anyone will ever convince me that cops do not have a ticket quota. Anyway, feel free to share my story on the air, Alex. P.S. I disagree with everyone who thinks you should fire Beer Mug. Don't fire him. Just make sure he is neutered so the future isn't endangered by his potential offspring. Think of doing the world a service and neuter Beer Mug.
How dare you?
But that doesn't help us.
Oh, it would. I mean, it would help a little.
Neutering Beer Mug doesn't get him out of our life, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, true.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Susie writes in, when I was 19 and in college, I was at a party with some friends. I don't like the taste of beer, so I would just carry one around and take tiny sips from time to time just to try to look cool. Well, the party was busted by the cops, and they gave everybody a breathalyzer. My blood alcohol limit was 0.04, which is basically the same as a dose of cough syrup. I was still given a ticket because it wasn't absolute zero, and the best part is because I was over 18 but under 21, I was charged as an adult but still consuming as a minor. I now have a job that requires background checks, and I have to declare this weak-ass ticket every single time since it's a misdemeanor and not just an infraction like a traffic ticket.
Oh, my God.
That's insane.
Have you ever been convicted? Yes. Don't ask.
0.004, by the way. Kevin, there hasn't been a day in your life you haven't woken up with something more than that,
right? I'd be disappointed if I did.
Dear Kevin and B, this is on the what was the topic we were talking about? I'll read the email. Maybe you can remember. Right. When I was in the Navy, I worked in the sick bay. One day, a Marine walked in with typical signs and symptoms for syphilis. I told him he had contracted syphilis, and he freaked out and said, "That's not possible. I've never even had sex." Regardless of his comment, I administered the antibiotics to treat him. Within a few days, I heard the word of mouth on the rest of the story. The afflicted Marine had a marital aid, which he kept under the bed. Now, what kind of marital aid might he have kept under the bed that would have given him syphilis? Well, his roommate who had syphilis would be using the marital aid when the owner left the room. This guy didn't know it. That's how a virgin contracted an STD, Fire Beer Mug Hector.
Wow. That was the longest that you waited. You waited too long to go to the doctor.
To go to the doctor. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. How disappointed was
such a burn.
That guy?
That guy is like, I'm never having sex.
Yeah.
You get syphilis and you're a virgin.
That's funny.
In Bean's Death Quarter this week, we were talking about how that wedding reception got way out of hand in New York, and we were surprised that somebody got stabbed to death over a few cans of Sterno. Remember,
yes.
We were like, it's so cheap, and you can buy it anywhere, and we were trying to figure out why this guy was so rabid for the Sterno. Dear Kevin and Bean, Jamie writes in, I was a local newspaper editor for many years, which is how I know this. Sterno is an ingredient that is often used in making meth. I was cracking up listening to Bean's Death Corner on the podcast when this came up. It's now one of those things that you can't buy in bulk at stores like CVS, so I'm guessing the family was not fighting over it to heat food.
Oh, my God.
Well, that makes more sense.
Wouldn't have thought about that at all. When we were talking about the topic of what you do with your pet's ashes, we didn't even get into taxidermy, by the way,
which
some people still do.
Whole nother level of creepy.
We also didn't get into cloning. We have a listener who wrote in, I tried to call you guys, but you ran out of time on this topic. My sister's father-in-law kept the semen of his favorite golden retriever, Spam. In fact, he kept it for a couple years and recently had another dog artificially inseminated with Spam's juice. We now have a dog from this litter. This same guy, by the way, also cut off the ear of his favorite bull. He's a billionaire rancher and had that cloned. The new bull is called Ditto.
That's a whole other thing, right?
That's a whole other problem there.
That's insane.
And by the way, it's not that hard to make a dog. And cloning your dog, it's not the same. It's not your dog. It doesn't have your dog's personality, right? Your dog, I mean, other than the personalities that are consistent with that breed, doesn't have your dog's memories. It's just like getting a new dog.
I say go for it. I say it's a good idea.
And finally, on this edition of the email, I got a bunch of response to our topic on MRSA, if you remember that. Hey, jerks, thanks for ruining my entire day and possibly my entire life with your little MRSA conversation this morning. All day long, I kept looking at my 150 germ-infested students. Yes, I'm a teacher, wondering which one was sloughing off deadly skin cells that would enter my bloodstream and result in the mutilation and possible amputation of all my limbs. You also ruined my favorite time of day, my relaxing, boiling hot shower. All I could think about is MRSA, 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 and how I need a cold rinse. Dear Lord, not cool, man. Not cool, says Candace. Kayla writes in, Kevin and Bean, I've been catching up on the podcast at work, and I've been amused by the discussions of MRSA over the past week. While it's true that MRSA isn't something to be constantly worried about, it can nonetheless have devastating effects, as we heard from your listener on Tuesday with all the surgeries. I'm also rather shocked that you haven't brought up the reason you should really be whipped into a needless frenzy, specifically people like me who are not only carriers of MRSA but work in the medical field. No hospital I have ever worked at has any policy of testing employees for MRSA. I bet most who have it are carriers and are unaware of it. I now present for your enjoyment a panicked frenzy in 3, 2, 1, says Kayla. So I guess never ever go to the hospital again.
It's the worst place you could go, apparently.
It is. Yeah, people get sick all the time. Victor writes in and says, Dear Kevin and Bean, love the show, especially love the moments with, but tell me, how is it possible that you're not playing the latest moment with Kevin every minute of every single day? What's up,
dare you? We've played that a lot.
I think he makes an outstanding suggestion today. Thank you, Victor.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, that was great.
Yay.
Thanks for...
Hey, that's that song from the first round of the NBA playoffs.
It certainly is.
It's Coldplay on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:39.
That's the song I recall we talked to Chris Martin about that he worked with Avicii, by the way. Sky Full of Stars. Good stuff. Hey, the woman who is mostly responsible for bringing us Jersey Shore, Sally Ann Salzano, and one day she is going to pay for that. I don't know how. There's going to be revenge. She's not going to see it coming. She's going to be, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down. I don't want to give it too much away because I got a lot of ideas, but one day she's going to pay for that. And she is back inflicting a new group of kids on us in a show called Party Down South we'll talk about next hour. First, though, my favorite pope is back in the news, you guys.
Yay.
I don't know. A lot of people will have a favorite pope, but Bean seems to and is not Catholic.
Well, if you follow the popes at all, this one would be your favorite.
Okay. He rules. This pope rules. He is, you know, he's broken the tradition a little bit. He's a little more liberal, a little more open-minded perhaps than previous popes. But there are some areas in which he agrees with his predecessors. And one of them is that Catholics in particular ought to be having a lot of kids. What's up with you if you're not having kids? He is very concerned by the falling birth rate, not only in Italy, but all around the world. And he is warning people, in fact, just gave a speech on this on Monday. He's just warning people, look, you got to fill up your life with kids for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that you're going to be old one day and you're going to wish that you had kids there to be with and spend time with and take care of you.
Old and lonely. If you just marry but don't have children, and don't let pets take the place of children, that's not okay.
That's his point. Right,
have kids.
Well, there's no guarantee those kids will stick around, by the way.
Correct.
At least the pets will. That's what I say.
The pets will for a time.
I hope to outlive my pets, Lisa. I don't know about you. But we wanted to find out more about this from the Holy Father, so we asked Producer Dave, hey, is there any way you can line up the pep, as he calls him? And we got him on the phone. I believe Pope Francis joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Your Holiness.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're fine. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And at 77 years old, I'm very impressed with all this traveling you've been doing, how much work you've been doing. You seem to really be getting into the Pope job.
I am energized by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It moves within me and gives me strength and energy to have the job.
It's terrific. And you're against all that funny business that some of the underlings of the Catholic Church were into for a while, right?
Sure. Okay. Whatever you say, it's funny business. I'm not sure what is your meaning, but comedy, like stand-up comedy? What kind of funny? Like Seth Rogen? What kind
no,
of comedy?
No, I was just talking about, you know, the Catholic Church has taken some hits. I mean, you've been a real breath of fresh air in terms of the kind of publicity about the church lately. It's really been more about the teachings of Jesus rather than, you know, lawsuits and payoffs. That's
You mean don't bang kids?
Yes, go big kids.
I'm
exactly.
against that, yes.
Against it, exactly. All right, tell us more, sir, if you would, about the point of your speech on Monday about having children.
Well, marriage is a holy sacrament in the church. And I'm trying to express to married couples that the blessing of children is something that enriches your life and binds a marriage together as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, people who treat animals, pets, like children, are goddamn stupid.
Wow. Wow. I'm surprised to hear you use the phrase goddamn.
Yeah, that's how much I hate them. They're really annoying.
You don't hate anybody.
I hate them.
Well, one of them is in the room here. Well, her name is Lisa.
Well, I condemn your soul to hell.
That seems very harsh.
And she treats her dogs
change your life, then.
She treats her dogs like her children.
Yeah, I saw a bumper sticker on a car the other day. Says, my child has four paws. No, it doesn't. It's not your child. Stop it, stupid.
So somebody like Lisa and her long-term boyfriend or my wife and I who don't have any children but do enjoy our pets in the home, you're saying we're not living a fulfilled life.
Well, look, have pets. I have no problem. Pets are fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But once you call yourself a pet parent or you say that's my child, you should be put to death.
Put to death?
That seems
put to
death? That seems a little strong.
Yeah, they're horrible people. They're a product of Satan, really.
But let me run an example by you, though.
Okay.
My man Bean, who just asked that last question, who doesn't have any kids, really, that's not the guy you want reproducing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, look, that's a good point.
You don't have kids. I get that. Not everybody can have kids.
Okay.
But if you treat your pets like kids, say your pets are kids, I will come to your house and kick you in the balls.
Well, Bean does that.
But we're just being extra nice to our animals. That doesn't
be
seem
nice
mean.
Animals. I got Francis Assisi, good guy. I like him a lot. He had that attitude too. Never said, is it my son or daughter? Pointing to a cow. Never said that. Just said, be nice to pets. Once you say, it's my child, it's my baby, that's when I want to hit you in the head with a beer bottle.
You seem like you have some anger issues over this
one. No anger. I just have the Holy Spirit moving in me, and God tells me, don't be an asshole.
I have heard Bean on the phone say, how are the kids?
Uh-huh.
And he means...
Animals. He means animals.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you, unless a puppy comes out of your vagina, lady, you're not the parent of a dog, okay?
Okay.
And I think that, I love dogs. Everybody loves dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves cats. And...
What's that? Some dogs running. Yeah. That's like you got a lot of dogs running around
there. A lot of dogs
there.
Around the Vatican sometimes. I love dogs. But they're not people.
Right.
They're
okay.
not children.
Right.
Could someone shut the dogs up, please? And I think people... hey, Bishop, you shut the dogs up, please. I think... hold a sec.
All right.
Oh, you didn't just shoot.
What?
What's that?
You didn't just shoot the dogs.
No.
Well, they shut up.
I would not do that.
But they
not
shut
to my children. Oh, I would not shoot my children.
But you don't shoot pets either, Your Holiness.
Whatever.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Our breakfast with Jack White is 1 week from today. Very exciting.
What are they serving, do you know?
I don't have that information.
Will there be some gluten-free options?
I'm guessing not.
Because I got a leaky gut.
No, that's Lisa.
You can just have some fruit.
Lisa has a leaky gut. Right, you're good.
Well, we'll have some fruit then.
Yeah, no worries.
We'll give you a chance to win your way in with tickets for a breakfast with Jack White coming up later on this morning. Brand new Internet Roundup coming up next. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, you can't avoid that the Jenner girls, that Clydesdale and Chlamydia. What are their names?
I think those are their names.
I think that's right, yeah.
Klepto and
Kylie.
And Kal-El.
And Kal-El.
Yes.
They sure put a lot of pictures on the internet.
They like to be photographed and have those photographs seen.
Mm-hmm.
They're horrible children. Just horrible little people.
They didn't have a chance, Ralph.
I don't think so either.
Got
to grow up in that family, really?
Yeah.
Camphor Jenner says that supermodels were like my superheroes when I was growing up. Look, if you're a little girl and you aspire to just have your picture taken, you're horrible.
You were born into the right family.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the two are not unconnected. That she grew up worshiping models. She's now 18 years old, and she said, "Being a model is exactly what I wanted to be." Oh, dear sweet Jesus in heaven! Listen, I have nothing against models. I think they serve a wonderful purpose in this world, and many of them are hardworking, lovely people. But if you talk to the best, and they say, "Look, this is just a great way for me to make money. You know, it's this is the genetic hand I was dealt." Someone asked if they came along and said, "Do you want to have your picture taken?" It kind of became this
thing.
A lot
of good perks.
It's great. Great perks. It makes good money. But I would eventually like to do, fill in the blank, design clothes, be an actress, do something that requires something. If growing up, all you want to do is be a model? What? Anyway, Kendall and Kylie are also promoting their book, busy promoting their book. The story
See,
of
they did something else with their lives, Ralph.
The story of Lex and Livia. So Kendall and Kylie are promoting their book, The Story of Lex and Livia.
And are Lex and Livia in a family?
Well,
with
Kevin,
a
interesting,
porn
you
star
should ask.
And
it is a children's story about two sisters who are only famous because their big sister boned a guy on a video.
How about that?
That's quite a children's story. Kids. It's for the kids. It's got illustrations and everything.
Where'd
it's
they
lovely.
Get the idea?
I have no idea. They're creative geniuses, well, what they are. They're part of the most remarkable family of our time.
To be able to come up with that out of thin air is really amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, which one of them is dating White Batman?
I have no idea which one is dating albino Batman. I believe it's Kylie.
Okay.
The younger of the gruesome twosome.
All right.
So, I wish them all nothing but the worst. It takes the wind out of me sometimes, their stories.
You love them.
Jenny from the Block is back. She's Jenny from the Block, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
But she's never actually performed in her hometown of the Bronx, New York, until last night. New York Post has a story saying J-Lo did a free show last night at the Orchard Beach in Pelham Bay Park in the Bronx, just a few miles away from the Castle Hill neighborhood where Jenny actually grew up. She was singing and dancing for the kids. Fat Joe came up on stage. They did a duet. She was keeping it old school. Show was filmed and recorded and probably will be released either as a DVD or TV special or some other time. But it was a free show for everybody in the neighborhood. And by all accounts, everybody had a blast.
What do you guys think of her music?
I think it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, that's about it.
It's got a lovely beat. You can shake your ass to it.
It's good.
I think she's fine.
Why do you love her?
I kind of agree. I don't think she's much of a singer. I mean,
no,
I think it's
she's an entertainer.
She's definitely working in a producer's medium.
Yes.
I have liked her as an actress many times, though, that's for sure.
I feel the same way. I think overall she's a very she's a talented entertainer.
And I love her on Idol, by the way, when she did that.
She's charming and she's attractive and she's the real deal. Just don't look her in the eye. And
is that the rule?
Don't you look her in the eye, you will die. It's funny because, you know, summertime is a lot of outdoor concerts.
Right.
And hey, come on! Hey, come on!
Moving on! Moving on!
But this is always room for Jello.
To our next story.
Rise Against fans, good news for you guys. Rise Against will be releasing its 7th studio album on July the 15th.
Good times.
It's called The Black Market. And the first single, I Don't Want to Be Here Anymore, will drop on June the 10th. So you can check it out next week. I'm sure we'll
Did you write that, Ralph?
Sure we'll be playing that here at K-Rock when it comes out. You can hear some of it right now on riseagainst.com. If you're a fan, you can check it out. Just want to give you the heads up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeff Garland is 52 years old today. Actor Ron Livingston turns 47. Mark Wahlberg is 43 years old today. He's got that new Transformers coming out.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Transformer.
I got to tell you, that commercial does not do it a good service.
311 bassist Peanut is 40.
But there's no possibility you won't go see it, right,
oh,
Kevin?
Kevin is there day
they
one.
They couldn't put a commercial
me?
On that, that looked worse,
no.
yet you still go, no, I'm in.
No. If they said, all of our seats now in this theater lined with broken glass, Kevin would be like, I'm still going to go see Transformers.
It's going to be loud.
Loud beats ass pain. That's Kevin. That's always been Kevin's theory.
That's not been my theory.
Actor Nick Kroll is 36 years old today, and Fallout Boy bassist Pete Wentz. Boy, I was impressed by the Fallout Boy set at the Weenie Rose. I thought they did a great job. I was really, not to say surprised, but I was
a little surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised. No, that's not even it. Just a comment. A comment on what I was seeing at the Weenie Rose.
Just trying to make sure.
He's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Got tickets for a special premiere screening of 22 Jump Street on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, more tickets for A Breakfast with Jack White, Black Keys tickets, and Dr. Drew all coming up. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
So many videos, so little time. We put them all together for you from all over the internet at one handy location at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Some we don't have time to play the audio for you, including the latest from the epic rap battles of history, Stephen King versus Edgar Allan Poe. Very funny. And also someone has edited together every single word in the Star Wars movie and cut a video together with all the words alphabetically.
So it every word weird. That starts with A... is just, it's cut, 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 cut.
Yeah, it's like this. And.
Why?
And,
really?
And
why?
Who's got that kind of time?
I have no idea.
Why put the
What's
effort
the point?
In?
You
I don't know.
See it.
It's weird.
David King of Mexico joins us because he's the one who puts the videos up for you. And I know the only reason this first video is on here, Dave, is because it's got a guy in a panda suit.
the second part is for me then.
Yeah, this could easily be me.
This guy is in a panda suit, and he's at a bachelor party, and they're doing that thing where they spin you around in a circle so that you're all disoriented, and then you have to walk off and do something. Well, he walked off right into the fire, and his panda suit catches on fire to the hilarity of everyone gathered round.
So he just keeps walking into the water.
Let's not forget he's holding a chicken and throws a chicken right up in the air.
Yeah.
After it catches fire.
Like you didn't care?
Yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy bachelor party. Lisa, I can't believe we didn't talk about it on the air, but I know we were both watching the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee last week.
Oh, riveted. Yes.
Little Jacob
Wait, are you
Williamson.
Kidding? You're kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
Little Jacob Williamson is one of the fan favorites. He was so enthusiastic, so cute. He gets a word, and you rarely see this kind of emotion from a Spelling Bee contestant, but he knows this damn word until he doesn't.
Kabaragoya.
Kabaragoya. I know it. I know it. I totally know it. I know it. Okay. Kabaragoya. What?
We checked out his misspelling, but he was shocked. He was so excited, he barely thought about it, and he spelled it with a C instead of with a K at the beginning. And he
what
was just
a loser.
Heartbroken.
I know this one.
What the hell?
Lightning?
Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show sent Ryan Lewis out on the street. He's the DJ and producer for Macklemore. He's been involved in all their records and all his shows. And a lot of people may not, people recognize Macklemore. People don't know Ryan Lewis. In fact, they don't even realize he's the one who's asking them about Ryan Lewis, and imagine their surprise when they find out they're standing next to the guy himself.
What do you think of Ryan Lewis?
Ryan Lewis, don't really know what he does.
Do you think that you could point him out in a photograph? Okay.
Oh my gosh, Ryan Lewis.
By the way, stick around at the end of that video because he does ask Macklemore, what does Ryan Lewis do? And even Macklemore doesn't know. Daryl Sutter, we've been talking about him for especially the last few years, that the Kings have been great, including this week in the Stanley Cup Final. He is the coach of the Kings, and his press conferences are very difficult for the press. He does not like to give long, expansive answers, and somebody has put together like a 10-minute video of highlights from all of Coach Sutter's interviews.
It's not always whether you win or lose. It's whether you're winning or losing.
What did you say to the team after the game?
Fly at 11.
Franchise hasn't played in a game 7 since 2002.
Who cares? Is that so? Should we have a major announcement tomorrow that we haven't played a game 7?
Is that it? Thanks.
I love him so much.
He's the best.
That was my favorite. Who cares, by the way? Let's skip this next one, Muggs, and move along to the one after. Every week here on the Kevin Amin Internet Roundup, we present a highlight from the Gay of Thrones. I feel like I recognize this girl that's in the seat that he's cutting the hair for, Dave. Who is this? She's an actress, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about this past episode of the Gay of Thrones, and as usual, Jonathan, the hairdresser who does the recaps, doesn't know anybody's names, just basically refers to them as the celebrity they most resemble.
So baby Barack Obama and Valerian Solange are in the spa, and then Solange comes back to catch Christina up on the fact that baby Barack Obama cruised the out of her. But Christina's like, honey, I think we have a problem.
When the slavers castrate the boys, did they take the pillar and the stones?
I would call it a weebly winkle, which I actually find is a real turn-on for most men.
See? There you go. All right. Check out the Gay of Thrones recap from Funny or Die. YouTube had a birthday. Can you guys believe, is it possible that YouTube is only 9 years old? Is that right?
Wow. I don't remember a time before YouTube.
Like, how did we watch videos on the internet before there was a YouTube? Well, they had a big party. They called it the YouTube Birthday Karaoke Night, and it's very funny, and it looks like a lot of fun in terms of a party to be at because everybody gets up and does karaoke of famous YouTube songs, everything from Gangnam Style to Friday to Cups to the Bed Intruder song, and I think we have a little of that now.
You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We go find you. We go find you so you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Boy, oh, oh.
Isn't that the guy that did
That's Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain?
Tay Zonde.
Tay Zonde, that's right. That's right, yeah. And he also sings a little bit of that. It's a funny video. The Belmont Stakes are happening this Saturday. It's possible we will see a Triple Crown winner for the first time since, I think, 1978. And there's a bunch of kids that put together a rap video all about California Chrome. I think they're about, what, 10, 11 years old or something like that. And it's actually pretty awesome.
Chrome is my homie. You don't know him. You don't know me.
On the precipice of Uber fame, he is the one and only.
He killed it in Kentucky. Was a freakness in the Preakness.
With one more. When he'll rise to fame and make it a three-peatness.
I got chrome on my teeth and I got chrome on my brain. He'll win the triple crown and you
You say Dave. Awesome, I say meh.
Yeah.
Dave, you're going to the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita this weekend.
That's right.
How much are you going to have to bet on the favorite California crew
Let's see,
to
he's
win?
3 to 5 odds, so it's you're going to have to bet like $60 to win $10 or something like that. It's horrible.
Not good.
Yeah, and he has the second post, so...
Not the second post.
No one has won from the second post.
You don't have to tell me.
Man, I wouldn't put my money on him.
And finally, this is a terrific video. Someone has looked at The Walking Dead and said, you know what that show needs is an 80s-style theme song, and it is brilliantly written and sung and cut together, but this is what it would be like had that show been on 25 years ago instead of now.
Beautiful.
I demand they change their theme to that.
I agree. That's what The Walking Dead needs is a laugh track, right? It's hilarious. You can see all these videos and so much more right now at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It is a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I think we should make it mandatory that all guests from this point on bring donuts.
Yeah! They're pretty great.
Who's with me besides Beer Mug?
Beer Mug is way with you. The reason we say that is because our friend Sally Ann Salsano, the queen of reality TV, the CEO of 495 Productions, in studio with us with Donuts here at Academy. So hi, Sally Ann.
Hi. I believe in bribing your friends.
Yeah. Tell us about this place. We have never heard of this place before, and these things are unbelievable.
I am obsessed. It's a place called Donut Snob, and I found it like... about a year ago, and I keep telling people, but now I'm going to be upset because I'm not going to be able to get the service I get because everyone's going to go. I don't even know. And the good news is because...
How do you not know?
Because they deliver. So you call these people, and then in the morning when you wake up, there's a box of crack outside your front door just waiting.
And they leave donuts too, though, right?
Yes, of course. if you order them.
They deliver.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's so good.
There must be a reality show in the donut snobs, right?
Yeah, no, you know what? I'll be up another 50 pounds. Like, it's crazy.
So, Sally, yeah, there's always so much to talk to you about, but let's get the business out of the way here first because your baby, Party Down South, is back. I saw a lot of tweets last night from people who were watching the Country Music Awards complaining about having to watch the Party Down South kids during the Country Music Awards because they hate them so much. But that's the kind of show you like, is the show where we look at those people and go, I hate those people, but I can't stop watching them.
You know what? I'm here to fill the world with hate. No, I don't know what it is. It is kind of like, I think they almost hate themselves for liking it, so they portray it on them.
Sure.
And I feel like it's a deflection. Mm-hmm. Because I have to tell you, and I do this on a lot of my shows, I don't like to be around bad people. Like, I like to have a good time, laugh, and hang out. So for me, they are great kids. Like, these are people that, like, babysit my dog. Like, I sleep in the house with them. Like, they're totally normal and fine to me. Now, again, I don't know what that says about me.
Not good things.
Yeah. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, like, I genuinely think that they're, like, great people. And from it was very different, like, coming from the Jersey Shore world, like, those were my peeps.
Which, by the way, Jersey Shore, of course, is the one that you were behind that we the first came to our attention.
Right, and everyone was like, this is the worst. The world's coming to the end. My dad was, like, thrown out of the Knights of Columbus. Like, it was, like, horrible. I was like, oh, my, leave the poor guy alone. He's in his 60s. What else is he doing?
He didn't do it.
Yeah, but, like, in the end, it's so true. I think it just strikes a chord with so many people, and so many people are like, we're not like that. And then they start watching the show, and they're like, I've done all those things.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing it now. And then I think they just have to hate them.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Sally.
Wait, let me just clarify. Though it's not possible that people hate them.
No, I don't. I mean,
because that is different than blaming them for you liking them.
I don't know. I feel like it's a little love to hate sometimes.
There's some of that,
and I also think sometimes, like,
I think there's some hate to hate as well. Though that's my point.
Why is there so much hate? Why is everybody so angry?
You're putting
can't
these
we all just,
on TV.
Can't we all just get along?
Now, God, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
But I feel like sometimes it's about the different, like, people. Like, I think in some episodes you watch it and you're like, I'm so not into that person.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it turns and you get the full story, which I think is life. I mean, I know there's days, I mean, here in my life, people you love, people you hate, sometimes those people are interchangeable.
Sure.
You know, and I feel like it's the same thing here, but I feel like there's still a common thread of, I love putting together a group of people that are very similar rather than, like, this one's from here, this one's from here. It's like, duh, of course you're different. But, like, when you put together a bunch of people that are similar, I feel like a social experiment is a lot more explosive.
It was interesting last year to see, even with all the fights that they had and all the, you know, the, I mean, literal fights that they had, and they but say they hate each other. But then at the end of the show, every one of them on that show was crying about having to be split up until the next time they got together to tape. I mean, they really did become a family over the course of season one, and that was unexpected for me.
I will tell you, it always, every time you start one of these shows, you're like, is this going to be the one that completely craps the bed? Like,
sure.
What's going to happen? You don't know, because it is a gamble, and all you can do is put together different characters and try and figure out, like, what you think may happen. I would say I'm never right.
Okay.
And I always think that that's good, because I think if you can predict every single thing that happens, so can the audience. Mm-hmm. I think people don't give the audience enough credit. People are like, oh, they don't know, just put it on TV. That's not true. They smell BS a mile away. So I think unless I'm up crying because I don't know what's happening,
right,
and freaking out and at the edge of my seat, like at work, I feel like I'm not doing a good job for the people.
Now you move in with the cast members for the whole time.
Yeah,
you're there.
Oh, they are my people.
I know, but
yes.
You're there full time.
Oh, yeah. Like, the network is always like, my network execs on this show are absolutely great. This is my first show I ever did for CMT. So, like, when you go in, you never know. And people are always like, what's she going to be like?
Right.
And then this network is like, I don't even understand. So you're still there. Like, your network normally wants you to participate.
Right.
There's times they're like, do you want to come home for a weekend?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
because they
okay?
feel sorry for
they're
you.
They're like, that's crazy. Like, it's 40 days. Like, what? And I'm just, I don't know. Like, I pack up my dog and I kind of like.
Look, we have our people that we're fascinated with, Sam the Armenian Comedian and Doto and a bunch of different people. But none of us would want to live with them for 40 days.
That's for sure.
You know? And we love
them. We can take them at 5 minutes at a time.
That's right.
Listen,
Sally,
go ahead.
Let me ask you this one question before the break, because I have many questions about these Party Down South kids. First of all, what's your boob policy when you cast? Because I feel like you're really good at that.
You know, I feel like you can't overlook the power of a boob.
Uh-huh.
Both mentally, physically. You know what I mean? I think it's really important.
That's science.
Is it partly because you know, and this is a serious question. This isn't me being creepy bean. Is it partly because you know that there is something about chicks with big boobs that is going to upset the balance of the house because it's so distracting for the guys? It's a point of jealousy in some case for the other girls. And you know that there's going to be some drama coming out of those breasts being in the house.
Well, you know, boobs in general cause drama at any size. I think them just being attached to a woman creates a lot of drama. But I always think, well, sure. I mean, it's how the deck is dealt in the world. But not everyone in that house has a huge rack. Like,
But enough, dude, to keep me watching.
Well, so then, yes, mission
then she
accomplished.
Did her job.
Okay,
yeah.
So yes, you're welcome. And we'll keep that going.
Party Down South is the show returning for season two. Last year they were in South Carolina. This time they're in Athens, Georgia, right?
Oh, we are.
Still hot, still humid, still all living in a house together. Still, they can't drink fast enough when they walk in the door of that house.
There is not enough booze in the world.
Not enough booze in the entire state of Georgia for this show. It airs tonight at 10 on CMT. More with our donut-bearing guest, Sally Alsano, when we return right after this on K-Rock. I want a reality show about the life of our guest, Sally Alsano.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see that.
I'll never work again.
Sally Ann is the executive producer of Party Down South, returning for season two on CMT. It's the highest rated show in the history of CMT. Is that right, Sally Ann?
It is. Tonight's our premiere for season two, so it's a little bit like, come on, Snake Eyes. No pressure.
Now, we were talking off the air about how much time it takes, how much video you have to edit an episode. Can you tell us the story about tonight's episode?
This show, we basically edit about 600 hours to one.
600 hours for every one-hour show.
For every one-hour show.
Wow.
Because I believe that you don't know when stuff's going to happen. So it's been, yes, exactly. I literally was like, how do I talk without cursing? I don't know how to do this. Welcome to America. You just have to shoot. Like, you don't know when they're going to trip, when they're going to fall, when something's going to go off. So you just roll with it. But tonight's episode was a record for me. In any of the shows we ever shot, we were 4 hours into the shoot when literally it was going so bananas. And by that, I mean rock solid.
Yeah.
That one young man may or may not have fallen down the steps, landed on his face, started eating the carpet. And we were like, and that's a wrap on F1.
Now, hold on. You said 600 hours. That this one was
This is four hours.
Four hours,
but 35 cameras.
Wow, they delivered.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I mean. They delivered.
What's your policy on this show or any of your shows about the producers or cameramen stepping in to stop or help?
If somebody's eating the carpet, you don't stop.
No.
Am I right?
Yeah. I mean,
come
within
on.
Reason, you don't let anyone do anything. Like, no one's drinking and driving. Like, anything like that, you're not. But just normal shenanigans are normal shenanigans.
How about a fight? Would you ever break up a fight?
Yeah, we've broken up fights before. You see it on camera a lot. I mean, at some point.
Is it you? Because I'd love to see you run out there and break up a fight.
I might.
Some ass.
I may or may not be able to find some footage of me ripping a JWoww and Snooki apart. Like, there's something where the network gets the cut and they're like, really? Like, there's no one else to do this. But, like, it depends. Like, you do. You always do. You don't want anyone to get hurt. But sometimes it goes from 0 to 100, like, in a minute. You're like, what just happened? Why are they? I don't even know what's happening. And then you talk to them after, and they genuinely don't know why
That's
they're fighting
That's the beauty
either.
Of alcohol, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
right?
You know, so yeah. Thanks for playing. But it's interesting. But this season, there is, like, it is crazy. Like, I sat in the control room crying and laughing, and I would say my emotional roller coaster, now I'm not so stable, but my emotional ride pertaining to the show was very good. We had a big thing go down with Daddy and Little Bit. And apparently, in between the two seasons,
yes,
there may or may not been some bumping of an ugly.
Mm-hmm.
An off-season hookup.
That no one knew about, and she wanted to keep quiet.
Okay.
And
he didn't?
Well, the other thing that she decided to keep quiet until she got to the house was that she had a boyfriend.
Oh,
okay. So when they went into the house and she was like, oh, so I'm dating someone else, let's just say that Daddy's chin hit the ground and basically, you know what else hit the floor.
Sure.
And let's just say that this season was literally like two people in a house, like it was like Ronnie and Sammy party. It was like sweet. Good times. Like wow. I was literally like, why do they always do this? Is insane. And I get so involved because I love them. And I'm like, I love that they're together. Why is everyone fighting? And then all of a sudden I'm like, they're fighting. Like you don't, your emotions are all over the place. And it affects the entire cast.
You might be insane.
There's no mic.
There's no mic.
Yeah, like, I mean,
Sally
thanks
Ann,
for the doubt.
Did somebody between season one and season two get a sit down or a talking to from his or her parents about the way he or she behaved in the house and some changes were insisted upon, or here's a list of rules of things to do and
what are you
don't
talking
do.
About?
What am I talking about?
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah.
Her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, her mom gave her a cute little message. Like, they're super religious.
Mm-hmm.
Very Southern. Like, I was raised Catholic, so I completely relate to it. You can see how well that worked out. I completely relate to where they're coming from. And so for me, it's like I actually jump right into it with them. And they always crack up because, like, something will happen. And then they're like, we need to pray. And then all of a sudden, at one point, like, I started praying and little bit looks at me. She's, I didn't know you had it in you. I'm like, don't tell anyone. But, like, it's interesting. Her mom, yeah, like, and some of the instructions from their parents, are, which I find odd, is keep your clothes on. Don't
well,
sleep. You know, there's a lot of
when you get
things.
Horny, read the Bible.
Yes, when you get horny, read the Bible is a big part.
When you get horny, read the Bible.
Apparently, Jesus is
Does
so
that
hot.
Help?
No, I don't know. Like that long hair on Jesus. I don't know what it is, but like, yeah, there was a lot of advice given from parents of like Tiffany's parents were like, keep your legs closed. She's like, I did last season. And the dad's like, well, that's just because no one else did. And I was like, that's her dad.
Oh,
and then
man.
Like Lauren's dad was sitting there with the duck call. Her grandpa that, like, was the joke that when she was having sex with Lyle, the duck call would go off. I'm like, I don't know. Like, if my parents were sitting there, I don't think
yeah,
that they would think this was so funny. But
bizarre.
But it's like...
Does it help or hurt the show that the parents get involved?
I always think it's great. I think it's great that the parents are supportive, and I think the parents at the end of the day know their kids.
Yeah.
And I always think that every once in a while when these shows come on, let's just say that parents learn a little more about their kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll bet.
And I wondered as a result, I mean, look, you picked all of these kids out of obscurity for the first season of Party Down South, and they never saw any of it while they were filming it. But now, in between seasons, they've had a chance to go back and watch how they were portrayed in season one. Does that affect the way they want to be portrayed in season two? Do they come to you and go, oh, it was so uncool what you did last year?
No, I will tell you that I've actually never had that on one of my shows.
Never?
No, and I will tell you why. Well, here's the truth.
Okay.
You have it, and then you call, like, if I know someone's had a particularly tough episode coming, like, oh, this is not going to be good for you.
Right.
I tend to always call them that day or the day before and be like, listen.
To give a heads up?
When we were out there, you know what happened. You were there. Tomorrow night, you may not want to watch with your grandparents. You know, it is the episode where blankety blank happened.
But somebody has had to come to you and say, I can't be portrayed this way, or I think I was wrongly portrayed.
Unfairly edited or whatever.
Not unfairly edited. I think they might say that, and then I talk to them, and then at the end of the conversation, it genuinely ends with them apologizing. Because at the end of the
because
day...
Because I think you have some sort of voodoo power.
No, I think because once you say, here's what really... I was there that night, right? Yeah, you were there, right? So let's really talk about what happened. And then you tell them, and they're like, oh, thanks, dude. Because
so you're camp counselor as much as anything on this
you
show.
You are, but also because thank God for broadcast standards. Normally things are way worse than
right.
what you guys see, or what, you know, so there is a balance to what's shown, and there is two sides to every story.
Do you have fights with that, with the censors and the stuff that they want to show? And is it different on country music television than it is on MTV?
Let's just say the Viacom Network Standards Department,
pretty
when I get
same.
A new show picked up, are like, we're in business, no one's getting laid off. You know, like, I would say I'm on standards calls quite often,
yeah.
first name basis for sure, with those fine people
That's
over there.
That's fun, isn't it?
It is fun, and it's also fun with the notes. They're like, you can't take someone, put them in a pretzel, and then do it like this. You can refer to a pretzel as a food item only. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that you learn, you know, and, you know.
Well, it is it's a crazy show. If you haven't checked it out yet, it is called Party Down South, and it returns for season two tonight on CMT at 10 o'clock. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what is it, eight kids living together in a house in Athens, Georgia, and it does look intense, Sally Ann. Hey, which accent do most people find more annoying, New York or Deep South?
I think there are times Tiffany has the craziest accent, and there are times we're talking to each other, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're saying. And she's always like, don't judge me. She's like, you sound nuts to us. So I'm always like,
so
all right.
Both.
Yeah, I think they're both equally as annoying.
Okay, good.
Well, congratulations on season two. We can't wait to see it, Sally Ann, and thanks for the donuts.
Oh, no worries. Enjoy. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Congratulations to Ivan Acevedo from Paramount. Won his tickets to go see Breakfast with Jack White. We, of course, have that 1 week from today here on K-Rock. He'll be performing live, and you get a chance to help us interview him. And the whole deal, your chance to win, coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Quick reminder, tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. Love to have you come out and see Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin at 10 p.m. tomorrow night. We have a good time. And Kevin gets stoned and I get drunk. And it's a salty and sweet combination, really.
Not interested.
I'm the salty one. You can go to improv.com to get tickets or BabylonRalph.com to get tickets. We'd love to have you join us tomorrow night. Speaking of tickets, how about tickets to the special premiere screening of 22 Jump Street?
Yay!
Can't wait.
No, why are the kids saying no to me, but yay to 22 Jump Street? Why is that the case?
That's a question you need to ask yourself,
I guess,
my friend.
So. Of course, this is the sequel to the wildly popular 21 Jump Street. Everybody's back. Jonah Hill, Ice Cube, Channing Tatum, or Tanning Chatham, or whatever Lisa calls him. They're all there after making their way through high school. Now, they're undercover at a local college. I think shenanigans are going on, that they have to find out what's going on with those shenanigans. I love watching these two over here. I love Kevin and Beer Mug while I'm trying to do the show.
No, we're good.
Watch them battle it out.
It's all good.
They're dropping the gloves. Beer Mug has pulled Kevin's sweater over his head. It's a left. It's a right. They're down. The refs are breaking it up. I hate
our last guest, Ralph, brought us some donuts, and I think they're fighting over who gets the next one.
That very well may be.
Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, it's Kevin got up. Took out Beer Mug. This is happening June 10th. That's next Tuesday at the Village Westwood Theater. You get to see the red carpet. You get to see the movie. It's all a very cool event. If you'd like to go, why wouldn't you? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers through with that number get tickets to see 21 Jump Street, the special premiere screening. 22 Jump Street. It's in theaters everywhere on June the 14th. So don't feel too bad if you don't win. Don Cheadle's trying to make a movie, and he wants you to pay for it. Seems to be the thing these days.
Sure does.
House of Lies star is directing and starring in a movie called Miles Ahead, a biopic on the late jazz legend Miles Davis. See what he did there with the Miles? Miles Ahead.
Miles Ahead.
Miles Davis.
No, I don't know.
Miles is a name, but it also can be used as a unit of measurement. No? Nothing?
I get nothing.
Ewan McGregor's also been set to co-star. But Don needs a little more cash to get the cameras rolling, so he started an Indiegogo campaign to raise $325,000. As of last night, he has about $30,000 so far. So he needs your help. If you want to see a biopic of legendary jazz trumpeter Miles Davis, you're going to give him some money. If he pledges a mere $10,000, you get to play golf with Don Cheadle.
That's a lot for a round of golf.
$10,000? Come on. You carry that in ones in your pocket, Kevin, along with that frog and that yo-yo and those jacks that you have in there.
It's interesting to see guys like Don Cheadle and Zach Braff, you know, trying to, you know, have it crowdsource a movie. And, you know, we had that conversation with Clark Gregg yesterday, who just made a small movie, Ralph, and he was talking about how it's almost impossible to get something made that's not meant for a mass audience anymore. Hollywood has just changed so much, these smaller movies don't get financing.
For smaller amounts of money, you can get a visit to the set or you get a credit in the film. Don's hoping to start shooting this summer in Cincinnati. So if you want to see that movie, pay up.
I would like to see that movie, by
the way. Well, then pay up, Bean. Look, you gave $5,000 to meet Scarlett Johansson and then chose not to meet her. Right, so you paid $5,000 for nothing.
And what was his investment in the corn photography? Right. What was that?
You paid money for a guy to take pictures of ears of corn. You gave him money. You gave Don Cheadle some damn money to make a movie that you actually want to see.
The guy was taking pictures of corn.
It was excellent pictures of corn. They were lovely corn shots.
I support the Kickstarter model. I threw a few bucks Veronica Mars' way. I've done a couple of these things. I'll look at the Don Cheadle page. Absolutely.
Bean is into hardcore pornography. while we're talking about movies, looks like we have yet another standalone Star Wars movie underway now. I told you that Gareth Edwards, the director of Godzilla, is going to be directing one of the standalone films. This is outside the ongoing story of the original six Star Wars films. And now Josh Trank, the director who gave us Chronicle and is doing the Fantastic Four reboot, he will also be doing a standalone Star Wars film. So they're getting their ducks in a row, man. They're gonna, as soon as they start cranking these out, it's going to be a Star Wars movie a year.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
That's awesome.
It's a great plan. And John Lennon, Kevin, you'll be happy to know, is still
dead.
Still dead, yes, but also still popular.
Oh,
yesterday an auction went on for a lot of his handwritten lyrics and some short stories that he wrote and some sketches and things. They are expecting some of the stuff, like this one short story that he wrote, a parody of Sherlock Holmes called The Singularge Experience of Miss Anne Duffield. It's a little 9-page short story he wrote, a humorous little story. They're expecting about $30,000.
Wow.
Because it was written in his own hand, so they thought a Beatles collector would like to own that for about $30,000. Yeah, ended up selling...
Stop it.
Ended up selling $209,000. $209,000.
That's
speaking
crazy.
Of stopping it. Stop pushing buttons over there, Beer Mug. Oh, it was your bad? Oh, so when you pushed the button, that was your mistake, you're saying?
Yes, sorry.
We've already had the stop pushing buttons comment, too.
I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, well, me too.
I'm a little winded.
I'm coming with you.
It's hard to.
Can I come with you?
Hard to do what I do on this side of the room when that's happening on that side of the room. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jeff Garland is 52. Ron Livingston turns 47 years old. Mark Wahlberg's 43. 311 bassist Peanut. My bad. Yeah. As if we were accusing Lisa May of jumping in with inappropriate sound effects. Peanut's 40, Nick Kroll's 36, and Pete Wentz, bassist for your Fallout Boy. He is 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later this hour here on the Kevin Amin Show, and your chance to join us for Breakfast with Jack White. Tickets just around 9 o'clock. Ralph is in studio with us. Ralph, you brought up a fascinating topic in the meeting yesterday.
Yes.
that I think would be worth talking about on the air, because this hidden cash thing has just become a sensation, especially up and down the West Coast the last couple of weeks.
At Hidden Cash is his Twitter handle, and what he does is he likes to F with people by hiding amounts of cash in envelopes and then giving clues out to where they are and then watching people try to murder each other to get cash.
So it's like $50,000 someplace?
No, it's like 80 bucks, 60 bucks here, 40 bucks there, 20 bucks.
He says it's a social experiment.
Yeah, it is. Watch how greedy people are and how they will murder each other.
How are you finding a negative in a guy who's giving away money?
Listen, I have a problem. I always had this, a pet peeve with the phenomenon that is free stuff and what it brings out in people.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird and disturbing, and I find it tremendously distasteful. Like, if I'm at an event and there's an open, like, buffet of snacks or like a dessert table,
right,
and I watch them bring out a fresh tray of mini eclairs, and then I watch people's eyes glaze over, and then they start to like maneuver, and they start to look over their shoulder, and their elbow being thrown, and they're trying to get just to the free eclair. They will do things that they would never do in their wildest dreams of degradation, just to get something that's free. Or you watch the people at Weenie Roast when we throw out those cheap free sunglasses with K-Rock on the side. How I saw a guy pull out a blade and cut the other guy's hamstring behind his kneecap.
I don't think that happened.
He hit his hamstring behind his knee, cut his Achilles tendon to watch him just go down just in a heap so he could reach up and grab the cheap free sunglasses. The phenomenon
to me of people
doing stuff for free stuff is just endlessly disgusting.
But how can you hate somebody who says, look, this guy's burying some cash at the park or at the beach or whatever it is. I'm going to go down there. I got time. It may take 15 minutes of my time, but I might get 100 bucks out of it.
But that's not how people are. You're saying that's how people are behaving. I'm saying that's not how they're behaving. I saw people on the interview on radio and television saying, yeah, I took the day off of work to go get it. So you gave up actual money at the shift at Arby's, wherever you're working, to go to the beach to dig in the sand for maybe money. You might find an envelope with $60 in it, but you know what you're not getting? Paid for that day of work that you took off to go to the beach.
That's true.
And there's 400 other people there, and they're all pushing each other out of the way, and they're, oh, that guy heard, I heard he said something, and they all run over there and start digging where that guy's digging.
Do they know it's $60 or whatever? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, they know...
No, they don't know how much it is.
But
has
what,
it
but
ever
been?
But they know it's not $500.
Right, it's not
$500. Because he hasn't done that.
He's never done it. It's it's $20, it's $60, it's $80, it's $100. I mean, top end...
$100.
Yeah. And I saw people who said, "Yeah, I've been everywhere. I was in San Diego, and now I'm up here. I'm in Burbank. I was at the mall, the Burbank Mall. And I got pushed over. We're going into the mall at Burbank, and a guy knocked me over. I mean, it's disgusting how these people behave. Look, I get it. Some people need the money more than others. I can understand that, but." What is the price that you put on your dignity? What's the price you put on your time, your energy, your effort dealing with those crowds and those people? What is the cost, ultimately, to your soul?
So 1-800-520-1067. The question is, what have you done for free stuff? Because it seems like, for Ralph, maybe you've done too much. I will tell you this. Bean, you probably remember. You may not. We had a 31 Flavors ice cream store by our work when we were in Burbank.
Right.
And
Baskin-Robbins, right?
Baskin-Robbins. And they had training day. And on training day, they would give out free ice cream.
Oh, really?
So we would show up on training day and just eat until we had to roll ourselves out of
my God.
Out of the Baskin-Robbins.
Really?
Why? Now, free. Could we afford it? Absolutely.
Of course,
it's ice cream.
You could have gone
too much.
Any other day of the week. And had a pleasant experience with a small number of people in that given store
but
and got yourself a nice ice cream.
So we would eat five things because they were free.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
So you condemn that as well. Someone who goes down to free ice cream day at Baskin-Robbins is a bad person also, Ralph?
Yes.
But it's free ice cream.
But again, what's the price that you pay? You're in a crowded location with a ton of other freeloaders who are trying to scarf down their weight in free ice cream simply because they're not paying for it. I don't understand the phenomenon. I don't get that mental process.
You have to scarf it down because you need to get back up to the counter for whatever's next.
But why?
Why
are you doing
because
that?
It's free.
But I don't understand that. Just because something is free doesn't necessarily mean it's either good or that you have to overdose on it. I don't get it.
I don't know.
We want to hear.
I don't know
what you.
I've seen people take stuff because it's free that they never in a million years would pay a dollar for.
Agreed. Yes, that is true. Absolutely. I know that's true with K-Rock t-shirts, by the way. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you what it is you've done. Maybe you've waited in a two-day line to get something free. Whatever it is, you bit at Santa Anita and Lightning made you eat dirt to get something for free. What about those people, by the way?
Lightning makes people do for nothing, for bumper stickers.
Right, and they do it.
All right, I'm going to give you a vasectomy with this rusty spoon for a keychain.
And people line up.
Keychains are free. Keychains are free to everybody,
weird.
Too, by the way.
They
That's
are.
What's awesome
No one
about
else
that.
Has to earn them.
And I'd also, if there's time, if we can find one, I'd love to hear from anyone who actually went out looking for the hidden cash this weekend, too. I want to find out what your experience was like looking for the hidden cash as well.
So look, 1-800 if you pay a dollar for a lottery ticket for a payoff of $20 million.
Right.
That's worth a buck and a couple minutes of your time, and that's a small investment to make. But for something that's free, if you're really engaging in shameful behavior for something that's free, you need to be taken out. That's what I'm saying.
Deported or
No, the
puppy
big
leg.
Takeout, the big takeout.
Oh.
Yeah, the murder button.
All right.
Yeah.
Muggs, have you been in any situations where there's been free food?
Oh,
Maybe you've done something?
Everything and everything is mine when it's free.
All right, good.
There you
Let's go.
Go
to
those are my people. That's what I'm talking about right there. It's that guy.
Let's go to Nadine. She's on line 7. Lisa May, she's a brethren of yours. She's from Inglewood.
All right.
And she joins us on the Kevin DeBee Show. Talking about free stuff and what you did to get it. Nadine, thank you for calling.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May, Ralph.
Good morning.
Yes. Back in the 90s, like Black Friday, a lot of the Macy's, all the department stores, you get there early, like the first 500 people or 100 people get like gift cards, like $5 gift cards, $10 gift cards, a free, like, you know, reusable bag. My mom and I, sister would be up there like 4 o'clock, 4:30 a.m., hitting up like Target, Macy's, May Company, Robinson's May. It was insane. From like, you're 11 years old, your mom wakes you up.
All right.
She wants a $5 gift card.
All right.
But let me ask you a question. Did you come from a poor family or did you have $5? You know what I mean? Like, was it worth it for your family, or was it just because you could get...
It was fun because they don't do that anymore, you know?
It was fun. Nothing's funner than getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning to get a reusable tote bag from Macy's. You're right.
A $5 gift card.
Wow. It does seem like it does speak to the matter of your time. I mean, it's worth maybe it's worth getting up on that Black Friday if you're going to get a you know, a $2,000 TV for $500. You know, maybe that's worth it.
Yeah,
maybe
not for a $5 gift card. Deal, I can see that, especially around Christmas time. And again, I'm not talking about the people who are like poverty stricken. If you got nothing to eat and you have to go to stand in line for government cheese or something, you know, I understand there are sometimes situations you find yourself in where you must do something in order to keep yourself going. But the majority of people don't fall into that category.
All right.
Getting my kid up at 4 a.m. to get a $5 gift card. You know what? Here's $5, Mom. Let me sleep till 7. There you go. Everybody wins.
If you want Ralph to yell at you, give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Mike, you hang on. Kathleen, you too. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Ralph, I'd like you to meet Brittany. She's going to be your ultimate enemy. She is on line one. We're talking about the lengths that our listeners have gone to get free stuff. And I think Brittany's your person. Hi, Britt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Ralph. Hey, Lisa Mae.
Hello.
What shameful behavior do you engage in for free stuff, Brittany?
My brother and I have driven around Southern California for hours, like 4 or 5 hours, to get free 7-Eleven slushies on 7-Eleven.
Brittany's my people.
Now, Brittany, let me ask you a question. Are you well off enough that you could buy a slushie?
Afford a Slurpee, which is what, 79 cents?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. What do you think you're spending in gas driving around the Southland looking for a free Slurpee there,
and
Brittany?
And how much do you love them?
You're losing money on that proposition.
Well, you can't just go to one 7-Eleven and buy slushies because different 7-Elevens offer different flavors.
Sure.
So you have to drive around and test every one.
I can't imagine the void that is your life. I can't imagine what little you have going on.
Time.
It's fun to drive around on a mission with your bro. Like, he's my brother, so it's kind of fun to just drive around.
That's quality family time there. You're right.
I support Brittany. I support Brittany 1,000%.
Of course you do. By the way, Brittany just tried to throw in and listening to K-Rock as kind of as a bone for us.
Right. No, we're not going to fall for that.
How many Slurpees do you end up consuming in one day?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know. I have definitely tried probably almost every flavor every year. And it's in the middle of July, so it's hot.
And there's no way to get cool. That's true.
Well, slushies are extra delicious when they're free. Why would I want to pay for it?
You keep doing what you're doing, Brittany, and don't ever change, my dear. Thank you very much.
This is Bean's people.
Or play in traffic.
Oh, how dare
this
you.
This is Bean's people. He's the guy. Bean is the guy who will drive from record store, like Best Buy to Best Buy to Target to whatever, to save 99 cents on an album.
He's an enormously cheap bastard. But even Bean, with his tremendous cheapness, I've rarely seen him act inappropriately for free stuff. Like, if he's not interested, he'll just he'll turn up his nose and walk away from something. But he won't bear down and get something just simply because it's free.
They would spend 4 to 5 hours, that girl said, driving around.
Let's talk to Mike at Huntington Beach, by the way. I didn't even think about this. The people who go into the medical tests, for instance, you know, they get injected with typhoid or something
to
for
make
15
money.
Bucks.
Sure. So,
is that what you were doing, Mike? You had some sort of a deal where you could make money for damaging your body?
Basically, so this was probably in 1990, and in college, one of our buddies we were playing sports intramurals and came back with a big old cherry on his leg and had to go to the health center. So when he got there, they said, well, we got this new test. We'd like to put this salve on you. We'll pay you $75. So he came back to the fraternity house, and as soon as everybody else got wind of it, we're trying to figure out, well, how can we get in there and get on that cash, too?
So you tried to scrape your hip, your thigh, or
yeah. So basically,
knee?
in our hallway in our fraternity, it's like industrial carpet. So
right.
Guys were running down the hall and doing power slides on this carpet.
That hurts like a mother.
So they could get a huge cherry on their leg and have to go to the health center. Well, sooner than later, they all of a sudden figured out all these kids keep coming in with these huge scrapes on their legs. This doesn't make sense. Once they caught on to it, they shut us down.
That's the man trying to keep you down.
Yeah, they got the cash for that. It was kind of funny.
Now, how about that, Ralph? $75, that's worth it, right?
It's a little off topic, because if you're doing something, if you're broke and you're doing something out of the ordinary to earn money, I mean, I can get that. But free stuff, first of all, is free.
Well, that's true.
And also, the thing like the hidden cash people, you're not even guaranteed you're going to get that money if you go through whatever you need to go through to get down there. You know what I'm saying?
So Mike knew if he got a big enough
cherry, he's going to get 75 bucks. And he's a broke college student. Right. You know, I mean, there's a little bit more sense to that.
So he gets an exception.
Yeah.
All right.
This may not have been the best call for this particular subject.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Melissa writes in, I was in line at Costco for a tiny sliver of free sampler pizza. Three adults started yelling and cursing while we were in line because they thought we were trying to cut in line. Oh, one of them even had a small child with them.
The free sample people, F you right to hell. The people at Costco or any place who line up at the supermarket for the toothpick with the piece of cheese on the end of it, plunge that toothpick into your eye after you eat your cheese. Free sample people. God damn you to hell. Man, it's a cracker. It's a cracker with a piece of salami on it. What are you willing to go through to get to that? It's madness.
So they're your heroes?
No!
1 week away from here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Breakfast with Jack White. If you'd like to join us for that fun, fun morning, then stick around. Give you a chance to win those tickets coming up in about 20 minutes. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us Thursday mornings. Of course, he's the co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. And Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
Hey, man. What's up?
Well, what's up is I know it's a topic you've been talking about on your HLN show this week because it's a word that is new all over America to most of us grown-ups, Slender Man. What's up?
Crazy. It's some weird character based on a morning talk show host.
Huh?
No.
I don't know. I see what you did there, but no.
No. It's a bizarre character that is it's almost hard to explain. It's a guy that's sort of ghoulish. It's a faceless gentleman who wears a suit and a bowler, and he was created out of a photo contest in the late 2000s, last decade, like 2009, and he became the object of videos and stories in this. Apparently, there's another website that none of us have heard of called Creepypasta, which is where young people go and write ghoulish stories that they become preoccupied with and then contribute to. It's almost a community that's hard to understand unless you're a part of it. But this Slender Man, whoever he is, became an obsession for some particularly young girls. And in one case, these two girls decided, apparently one of these stories told that in order to meet Slender Man, you have to follow his command to kill someone, and then you get to meet him. Well, they began to believe this, and two 12-year-olds took their 12-year-old friend out to the woods and stabbed her 19 times.
That's unbelievable.
And they planned this for a while, right?
Planned it for like 6 months. And it's hard to understand. As usual, you try to wrap your head around it, and you can't. And when something like that happens, you've got to figure this is a mental illness. It's not as though, you know, when somebody comes to a psychiatric hospital believing that they're Napoleon, you don't go, oh, well, they must have read a story about Napoleon and
right.
started to confuse reality. No, there's a psychiatric problem. And in this case, one of the girls began to hallucinate that she saw Slender Man. She began to hallucinate that she talked to him, that he beamed, quote, radiation into her, which is called a delusion of reference. And then she convinced her other friend. The real mystery is how she was able to convince the other friend, who did not seem to be psychotic, to participate in this. It's unbelievable. It's almost like a sheer delusion.
Yeah. Doc, I saw another guy. He wasn't on your show. He was on CNN. I think he was a sociology and criminology professor. And he was talking about, and this is a topic I know you know a lot about, he was talking about what the brain is like at that age, 12, 13 years old, that you're very susceptible to things. And the term he used was temporary sociopath, like it's something that you might do at that age, but you'd never consider doing something like that if you were 16, for instance.
I think that's true. I think the brain is, you know, it's prone to not only weird fantasy and sort of reality is a little more porous at that age than as an adult, but you're also, of course, really prone to participate in activities of your peers or be swayed by activities of your peers when that's really the total focus of your life, what your peers are doing, what they think of you, how you fit in with your peers, and you get involved with a peer that has got some strange ideas and who really works on you for a few months, it starts to make sense. But still, you would. Then that kid, in fact, when you hear, although both girls told very different stories, at least the second girl, the persuaded girl's version of what happened, she's claimed that she didn't do any of it, or she had trouble doing it. She wanted to. She had held the knife several times, or maybe stabbed the kid once and then sort of recoiled and couldn't do it anymore, while the other one went to town.
Are these, is this story with these two girls, is it the only mention of Slender Man that we know of?
Well, if you're, unless you are part of that community, it's the only part of Slender Man we know of, the only mention in a criminal act. But in terms of, I've talked now to lots of people, including filmmakers and people who've been a part of that community or created content for those communities, that thought it was just sort of fun, almost like, you know, James Gunn creates, you know, horror films. It's just a genre to get people to have a fantasy and react. Most of them are just, well, every single one I spoke to was absolutely shocked and mortified that somebody actually brought this into reality.
What's likely to happen to this girl, by the way? I mean, what do you hold someone responsible for who commits a heinous act like this but is only 12 years old and might have mental issues?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm sure that's going to be a point of contention. However, my understanding is they're going to be tried as adults, and it doesn't look good for them. The fact that it was so premeditated and so, you know, really they were not disconnected from reality. They knew what right and wrong was at the time at which they did it. And furthermore, most people, you know, the vast majority of people with mental illness, even specifically of this type, they don't commit horrible acts. So you have to wonder what else is going on with the particular one girl that you know, might make her a danger to the rest of us, possibly the rest of her life.
How young can they charge a kid as an adult? Because 12 years old seems young.
It does seem young. I'm not a legal expert. I don't know the answer to that. And I know a lot of legal people are upset that they're doing so, because this is potentially an illness, potentially rehabilitatable. And yet others are, say, you know, think of the victim. Although the girl didn't die. She was only stabbed 19 times, guys.
Wow.
Lucky her.
Really?
And lucky because she happened to get found by somebody who was riding a bicycle through the woods. I mean, she was left out there to die, though, right?
And so left out there to die and crawled out to a road where a bicyclist just happened to come upon her.
Wow.
Crazy story.
Dr. Drew, before we say goodbye, I remember last week we were talking about that kid who shot up Santa Barbara, and I was asking you, because he was in therapy, I was asking you how you can tell when somebody is just troubled versus dangerous. Well, I would ask the same question about this. I don't know anything about the parents of this 12-year-old girl, but I mean, lots of kids are into horror. Lots of kids are reading the R.L. Stine books and everything like that. How do you know if your kid is just into horror versus might take a terrible impulse and do something bad with it? How do you even know?
It's a great question, and I think in this particular case, if we were to deconstruct what happened, I bet you there were lots of signs about how ill the one girl was. And I think that's the important thing for people to learn from this case, is that if you have a child that's, you know, writing pictures of ghouls on napkins and then saying, "I talked to him," or "I saw him."
Wait, so that's a bad sign?
Yes. When Bean does that, have him take it.
Okay.
But in other words, try to understand the difference. We really got to be much better, all of us, at understanding the difference between somebody who is joking, somebody who is, you know, describing a fantasy, and somebody who's mentally ill. And if that kid had been brought to help earlier, this whole thing would not have happened. And,
right.
And generally, that's sort of the note here, is that we have to get people to help, and then we have to require. This is the part that really where it's gone off the rail. Physician judgment or clinician judgment is not useful, not important in terms of dictating whether these people are forced to get help or are able to have access to guns, and that's what's got to change. And the rest of us have got to get people to help quicker and more readily.
All right, we got to leave it there. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood, Sunday through Thursday nights here at K-Rock. And don't forget, Dr. Drew on call weeknights at 6 o'clock on HLA and drdrew.com for all the podcasts that are available there as well. Thanks for the time, Doc. We'll talk to you next week.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
My favorite part about when our guest showed up earlier today with a big bucket of donuts, his mug said, "I'm so glad my diet hasn't started yet."
Yep.
Yeah. If I eat all the donuts in the world now, then I'll have more weight to lose next week.
This diet.
That'll come off faster.
He somehow refers to his diet in future tense like it's going to happen. It's just a matter of how many tens of years out. You know, it's going to be a while.
Right. It's like the next ice age. We know it's eventually going to happen, but are we ever going to be alive to see it? We don't know.
Beer Mug's diet is the meteor that will crash into Earth eventually.
That's true.
A lot of near misses. There's been a lot of talk about it, but we've never actually witnessed it.
Yummy.
Exactly. All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday morning. Ralph Garman joins us at 8:55.
Speaking of people who are full of S, Gwyneth Paltrow's in the news.
I love this story so much.
Yeah. She's got a new fixation. She's now fascinated with the fact that water has feelings.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
Now, listen, even Lisa doesn't buy that.
Lisa doesn't.
And she goes to a natural neutralist who lives in a van behind a Safeway and gives her pills.
Maybe we need to talk to her doctor again about this.
Excuse me. Dr. Aristotle Freedom?
Yeah. Seemed to know a lot.
What a feeling the water has.
Now, I've heard about the people who believe that plants have feelings, and that almost makes sense to me.
Well, at least plants are
living things.
Living and growing entities.
Right.
Water, as far as, well, I know there's no relevance in Gwyneth's world for this, but science is concerned, is simply two molecules of hydrogen.
Right.
And one molecule of oxygen.
And one molecule of feelings.
Oh, I forgot.
You forgot about that one.
It's H2OF with the feelings molecule. Yes, Gwyneth is following the teachings of Dr. Masaru Emoto.
That isn't good for you.
He is a scientist.
It's science.
Who believes that negativity changes the structure of water. The molecules will behave differently depending on the words or music being expressed around it. Now,
what the hell?
Again, this is completely irrelevant to Gwyneth Paltrow and her ilk, but these theories have been not only widely criticized, but almost completely debunked. He claims if you take water and you speak mean to it, and then you freeze it, and then you look at the frozen crystals under a microscope, the crystals look sad.
No, that's not true.
It's
true.
No,
you're making that part
They'll be gray and misshapen. But if you love the water,
you're making that
and you
part
say
up.
Sweet things to the water and you write peace on the on the vial that the water's being held in, and then you freeze it and look under a microscope, all of the crystals are perfectly symmetrical and crystalline and gorgeous.
What about the water in Scarlett Johansson's shower? How happy is that water?
That's very happy water. That water, when you look under a microscope, is dancing and has a big boner. It's boner water, which is my new product. I hope you pick it up. It's at Albertsons and a Ralph's near you. A little Viagra, a little water.
I know
water.
You'll do 20 minutes on this at your little podcast tomorrow night, but briefly, is she so, like, doesn't she realize everyone already hates her and thinks she's stupid? Why would she volunteer this information to the public on the internet?
Because, much like water, Gwyneth Paltrow is completely unaffected by the negativity that surrounds her. Here's the thing, and I'm not kidding. When you grow up in a glass case, When you have had no interaction, look, her dad was a wildly successful TV producer. Her mom was a wildly successful actress. She's been wealthy and privileged, and she's got into acting at a very early age where she was catered to, and all of her needs were met at home and at work. When you live that kind of rarefied existence and you have no connection to real life, I think this kind of stuff makes sense to you. I think you
don't question
it.
Nobody calls BS on you your whole life.
Right.
Huh.
You're living a fictional existence. And that's why she's consciously uncoupling, and water has feelings, and the goop thing, and people make fun of how wildly out of touch she is with real life, and she's talking about how hard it is to be on a set as opposed to those lucky teachers and nurses and stuff who got to be right there, moms. I mean, it seems like madness to those of us who live in the world, but to her defense, she's never lived in the world.
Right.
She's always in Cloud City.
That's bullshit.
With her godfather, Steven Spielberg, by the way.
I mean, come on. She's never had to really work for a living.
She hasn't had anyone go, what are you talking about? Stop being an idiot publicly.
She may have, but she thinks those people are just sad. They're not enlightened because I have the benefit of goop.
This kind of talk is making my iced tea pretty sad.
Yeah, look at it. It's all gray. It's all gray and misshapen.
That sounds reasonable.
And by the little podcast being you're referring to, you don't mean Hollywood Babylon, which is going to be at the Melrose Improv tomorrow night at 10 p.m., do you? You mean that one?
No.
Because I will be there with Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com to get your tickets. I mean, if that's the one you're referring to, I wasn't sure if you were referring to that.
No! All right. Oh, God!
Okay.
Oh, God!
Right.
Oh, God!
It's okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, Fall Out Boy bassist Pete Wentz, 35 years old today.
Yep.
Nick Kroll's 36. Peanut, bassist for 311s, 40. Mark Wahlberg is 43. Ron Livingston. I'm going to need you to work this weekend, okay? How many people say that to him every day?
Oh, I bet. You know, I feel bad for him because he had, I mean, that's such a role that everybody associates with. But he's done a lot of good stuff even since then. He was just on this last season of Boardwalk Empire. He's still a good actor.
Right. And he had a series on not too long ago. Damn it. I can't remember what it was now. But it was one of those undercover political dealios.
Oh, I still remember
that. He's on Veep.
Ron Livingston?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the other guy.
Anyway, I can't remember. But it's not important. He's a good guy, and we love him, and happy birthday. 47 years old. And Jeff Garlin, another guy we love, is 52 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for our breakfast with Jack White. If you'd like to play the hardest game in the world, give us a call right now.
That's hard.
Right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will play next. How about a pair of passes for you to be in the audience at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock for Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White next Thursday? And we throw in a pair of tickets to go see him a couple of nights before at the Front of the Theater on June 10th. That one sold out. How about both of those things?
How about
that'd be
okay?
All right. Yeah.
This game is not easy, though.
It is not. No.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
So we have contestants on the phone for you, Mr. Announcer Man. What are you going to need from them?
All I need them to do is identify the name of the Jack White-related song that we say to them. Oh wait a minute. I almost forgot. All of those song titles will be backwards!
Yeah! Well, that sounds like it'd be difficult to do. All right, who's our first contestant?
First up is Jackie. She's in Los Angeles. She works at the LACMA.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Jackie.
Ooh, I sense a love connection there. All right, Jackie, I don't know if you've heard the game or not, but here's how it's going to work. You're going to hear the name of a song from Jack White, either solo or one of his associated bands, and all you have to do is tell us what it is. You'll hear it backwards, and how many times have we played, Kevin?
Two times backwards.
All right, okay, and then we'll need an answer from you. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets for a breakfast with Jack White. Listen up.
One more time.
This is hard.
Hardest game in the world.
Hardest game in the world.
Take a guess if you don't know.
What's that?
No.
Seven Nation Army.
Thank you anyway.
Sorry, bye.
Thank you for playing.
Now, here's a tip for you. Listen to how many words a song title is. Sometimes that'll give you a clue.
Good one.
Doesn't help most of the time.
Coming up next is Claudia. She's in Upland. She manages an office. I bet they don't like her.
Hey, Claudia.
No, they don't. Nobody does.
They don't like you. They don't like the manager.
All right, here you go. Here's your Jack White song.
What's that, Rosal?
One more time.
What's that, Rosal?
Can I get it one more time or no?
Nope.
Sorry.
Just twice.
Two times each. Need a guess.
Just any Jack White song.
Lazaretto.
Yes, Lazaretto.
Thanks for playing. We don't like you either.
This game is not good.
Margarito's next. He's in Watts. He works for a utility company. Give me free electricity.
Hey, Margarito.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Are you ready?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here's your song backwards.
Swagishaitets.
One more time.
Swagishaitets.
You know what? I'm just going to guess White Orchid. I don't know.
Steady as she goes.
This game, Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy at all.
It's a sad game today.
It is sad. It really is.
Next up is Danny. He's in Santa Clarita. He's a mechanic. That means he kills people.
What?
Yeah.
He kills people. The mechanic. That's a code name for Hitman in the mob.
Who knows?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did.
Hey, listen, Danny, I don't want to put any extra pressure on you here, but Mr. Announcer Man is feeling sad right now, although you can't tell. But he really needs somebody to get one of these songs right, okay?
Mechanic.
Okay, good luck.
He's a mechanic.
Mechanic, right. All right, here's your song.
Margarita, the next meal dead.
Oh, dear God.
One more time.
Margarita, the next meal dead.
God.
a martyr for my love for you.
Dead leaves and the dirty ground.
Oh. All right. Thanks for playing.
It's difficult. It's
we are into sudden death, ladies and gentlemen. I think you know what that means. First person who gets one right wins tickets for Breakfast with Jack White and tickets to see him at the Fonda.
John is calling from Englewood. He's a chemical engineer, and he's up to no good.
Hey, John.
What's up, Kevin and B? What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, John.
A little hardest game in the world. I got a song for you backwards twice. Here you go. One more time.
I am going to go with, because it was kind of long, the hardest button to button.
Fell in love with a girl.
That wasn't a bad guess.
Good guess. No, it was a good guess, actually. I'm sorry you did not win. Thank you for playing anyway.
This is
sad.
It's back to sad again now.
We're not going to need a drawing, huh?
Coming up is Edwin. He's from Montebello.
Edwin.
Hello.
Hi there. You ready for your song?
Yes.
Try and get it if you would. Okay. Just some extra instruction.
Wait, who's there with you, Mr. Announcer Man?
That's my nephew, Omar Announcer.
Oh, really? I have to talk to him sometime. All right, here's your song. One more time.
New Oregon?
My doorbell.
Okay. What comes after sudden death?
Caller 20. Just right to caller 20.
Afterlife.
All right. We got more contestants for you, Mr. Announcer.
Yes.
Somebody's eventually going to guess one that hasn't been said.
Justin
right?
From Pomona. He's in TV production.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys.
Try to get it if you will.
Try to get it if
I'm
you
will. I'm not kidding. I've gotten every single one since I've been listening.
Way to try to get this one if you will.
Way to curse yourself, Justin.
Wow. Yeah, really talk about did. A curse. And the Kings are going to sweep. Why don't we just
How
say everything
you?
Out loud now? Why
no,
don't we
no,
just
hey,
do that?
Hey, why?
All right. Here we go. Ready? That's the best title ever.
Dead leaves in the dirty ground?
The hardest button to button. Yeah.
Now, Justin, when you said you got everyone all game long, what about the fact that we've already used dead leaves in the dirty ground? Why did you factor that into your guess?
I thought you already used hardest button to button.
No, somebody guessed it. Somebody guessed it, but they were wrong.
Aww.
All right. Sorry, thank Justin. You for playing. We have one more contestant left. Oops, sorry. We have one more contestant left, so if they get it or not, they win the tickets, Mr. Nelson.
Fix! Fix! Fix, he hit the right button before she had said anything. Fix!
We didn't know who we're talking
about. Fix! Fix!
Let's just give it to them.
Who do we have?
Coming up is Layla, calling from Commerce. Layla, she's in quality control.
Hey, Layla.
All right, the pressure's on, Layla. You going to do this for you? You going to make us proud?
Yeah.
All right.
No, he's not that, but here.
One more time.
No, he's no that, but here.
Come on. Do it.
Do it!
Say it.
Say it! Mr. Anderson, help us.
Oh. Freedom at 21.
Look, if you're not even going to try to guess, we can't help you, Layla. We can't do anything for
Bean
you.
Bean tried. He tried to fix it by playing the sound effect. He wouldn't play along.
Tried to cheat.
Mr. Announcer Man, pick a number between 1 and 100, please.
Oh, that would have to be 17.
Number Caller 17. 17. You win tickets for Breakfast with Jack White, and you also get a chance to see him at the Fonda on June 10th. Call now. Good luck. Thanks, Mr. Announcer Man.
This game was hard.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
One more look at the showbiz beat now. Ralph joins us in studio. What's going on?
Well, do we remind folks that tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the Improv on Melrose for our Hollywood Babylon show. Love to have everybody come out. Come on, Lisa. Come on. 10 p.m. tomorrow night, you can go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon. And speaking of tickets, I also have tickets to the very entertaining K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita. Once again, another microbrew. This time it's the Belmont Steaks Party. Will California Chrome be the first Triple Crown winner in 36 years and the first ever from California?
I say no.
You bastard.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
It's tough to win all three of those races. They're very different races and very different lengths and tracks and everything else. And there's a reason it hasn't happened in 35 years.
Well, find out this Saturday, June the 7th at Santa Anita Park. Newfound Glory will also be performing. But besides that, there's Microbrews there, and you get to bet on the races. And Lightning's there, making people eat dirt for a T-shirt. Stryker's going to be there. Omar's going to be there. Dave the King of Mexico. Beer Mug will not be attending. So look, it's got everything.
That really does.
I might be there now.
No, you can't do that.
No. Not invited. You can't do that.
Said all week long I've been selling it that you won't
He's
be there.
He's made promises. I might be there.
No, you can't be there.
Disappoint listeners who are planning on going now.
They see you there, and not only are they miserable, but then you make a liar out of me, and I will not stand for that. You're not going.
You're not going.
Here's what the VIP package gets you. Admission for four. So you bring three friends, you get backstage access, you get to meet Newfound Glory, I'm sure, unless they have their, you know, security there, escort you off the premises. Four drink tickets, $106 in a voucher that you can use to bet on the ponies. What more could you ask for? Racing's all day long. The gates open at 10 a.m. You got to be 21 years or older in order to win this package. I have one VIP package right now.
That is awesome.
To give away.
That is awesome.
1-800-520-1067. First person to get through at that number and say, fire Beer Mug.
That is fantastic.
It's the VIP package. I almost said another F word there instead of fire. I forgot I was in the radio for a second.
I wonder if when Stryker's out at Santa Anita, you know, with his tail and all tucked in between his cheeks or however he does it, if he just gets the urge to just run around the track with the other horses.
What kind of insane world are you living
I'm
in?
I'm just thinking about that.
It's not a horse tail.
I don't know. I've never seen it. I've only heard about it.
It's not a ponytail.
Well, you know it's not a horse tail.
You know, I don't know what it is.
I'm well, you know it isn't horse.
First of all, it'd be a monkey tail if it was anything. Just the genetics of it alone ensure that it's not a horse tail.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
Just wondered if he feels like just getting in there with the other animals. That's all. Gets jealous when he sees all the attention that they're getting running around doing races.
All right, I'm moving on.
Please. No, man.
Speaking of douchebags, this Justin Bieber. He's a horrible person.
Now what?
Well, we've known he's been horrible for some time now, but there was a time back when he was a youngster, when he was 14, 15 years old, everybody's like, oh, he's so clean-cut and adorable and wonderful and Canadian and nice and sweet and loves his mother, and he's just picture-perfect.
Right.
Remember how Bean said how he used to love him when he was a young lad?
Yeah.
Turns out he was a racist asshole. When he was 15. He wasn't even nice then. He's never been nice, not once.
Yeah.
New footage via the folks at TMZ this week showing Justin Bieber doing a parody of the song One Less Lonely Girl. You may remember that song from 5 years ago.
It's an awesome song.
His version is One Less Lonely N-Word.
That's nice.
A lot of people say, hey, well, you're being too hard on him. He was just 15 at the time. Even when I was 15, I wasn't saying that word.
Nor was I. Nope.
Yeah.
I wasn't making fun of it. I wasn't using it in parodies. I wasn't throwing jokes around. Not using it. It was raised by humans. That's why. Here is the audio to the video that you can see on TMZ of Justin just singing right down the barrel, as they say in the business, right looking into camera lens, just singing his heart out.
One less lonely n- One less lonely n***. One less lonely n***. There's gonna be one less n***. If I kill you, I'll be part of the KKK. Then there'll be one less lonely n***. There'll gonna be one less lonely n***.
What will it take? What will it take until we rise up as a society and stone him in a public square and do the right thing? What will it take? What offense will he finally commit where we say, no longer are you welcome to be part of our human race, Justin Bieber?
I was hoping for that a long time ago.
Man. Well, he has since
racist.
Apologized.
Sure.
And
did he go to a black church yesterday?
Not yet, but I'm sure he's on his way. And, of course, he has shared several Bible passages on Instagram and Facebook on his accounts, dealing with forgiveness and salvation for your sins.
As he's known to do.
Yes, he is a big proponent of the work of Jesus.
F you.
He's disgusting. Nick Cannon from America's Got Talent.
Now there's a guy who's got talent.
He's a mensch,
right?
As they say. He's got an improv comedy sketch series called Wild and Out. Did you know that? Did you know that such a thing existed?
No.
Yeah. Well, he just got a deal to come back for its sixth season. An order for the sixth season of Wild and Out, featuring Nick Cannon's hilarity of a comic improv nature.
Is it on TV?
It is on MTV2.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Hollywood Reporter says there'll be a 16-episode order on MTV2 beginning Wednesday, July the 2nd. You'll be able to see that.
Oh, can't wait.
It is the highest-rated series on MTV2, which is like being the fastest person at the Special Olympics race.
That's unbelievable. He's the most shocking. I mean, look, we all have people that we look at and go, how is that person famous or popular based on what they do? Nick Cannon is the biggest mystery of them all to me. He is a horrible host on America's Got Talent. He's a horrible radio DJ.
Yes.
He can barely read a cue card.
He's devoid of talent.
I've never ever seen him ad lib anything funny. Not one time. And now you're telling me he's got an improv comedy show?
He's got, for the sixth season.
He's got five seasons of it under his belt. That's what I'm telling you.
It's unbelievable. He makes Seacrest look like the funniest, most talented guy in the world.
Listen, I know. I don't know what you want from me. Nobody's more frustrated by it than I am. Trust me. And lastly, while we're dealing with the realm of the famous and talentless, Kourtney Kardashian is apparently expecting another child with her winner boyfriend, Scott Disick. Multiple sources have confirmed the pregnancy. Us Weekly magazine ran with the story, saying she's just a few months along. And the unhappily unwed couple also has a 4-year-old son named Mason and a 23-month-old daughter named Penelope. This will be their third illegitimate child. So
that's good.
So that's good, right?
Got that going
that
for us.
That is all happening.
Is there such thing as an illegitimate child anymore in the 21st century? Is that even a thing that raises an eyebrow that people care about?
No, but I like to use any disparaging words I can when they're targeted to the Kardashians. So
yeah.
I'm bringing some old ones back.
I like
good
it.
Good enough.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jeff Garland is 52 years old today. Actor Ron Livingston turns 47. Mark Wahlberg's 43. Peanut, bassist for 311, turns 40 years old today. Actor Nick Kroll turns 36. And Fallout Boy bassist Pete Wentz, who just thumped up a storm there at the Weenie Rose last weekend. He was beating that bass.
Yes, he was.
Cops showed up for assault charges for him against that bass.
I don't think that happened at all.
He's 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have one of the Los Angeles Kings, hopefully Drew Doughty, on the program.
About that Doughty? How about that goal last night?
Amazing.
Pass to himself between his legs, right there in front of that, just boom, just top shelf over the shoulder. Ridiculous talent.
He's a defender.
I know, he's a defenseman.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, he's nuts.
We also have Reed Scott on the program tomorrow from the show Veep. He plays Dan.
Oh.
Such a good show. We have
George Looney.
We have the movie beat with Ralph, and we've got your tickets for breakfast with Jack White. So we'll see you tomorrow.